We have a little bit of a special class tonight because we're meeting in New Hampshire with the group down here. And we have had them join us almost every class, just about. And we have some of the Rhode Island groupies as well who have showed up. So that's great stuff. And we're certainly glad to be here. And for everybody else who is joining us from far away, you now get to see the whole setup from the other side of things. So this is what the other kids get to experience every week. So what we're going to do this week is work through the promises to Abraham. We're picking up where we left off a few weeks ago. We had Uncle Mark last time. And this time we're going to be looking at the basic rundown of the promises they're laid out for us. Now, we had some worksheets that we were looking at. We had some of you guys probably did them already, or at least got started on them. I'm just going to swing this around because they, whoops, won't be able to see it anyway from far, far away, I don't think. Put a cork and everything. Okay, so if you want to get open your worksheets, we're going to go through them tonight as we look at these sections. And you got an extra set? Oh, very good. I need one, so that's great. So we're going to be referencing these. These actually came from CHC a few years back. We were doing a study for the older class there, and we figured we'd pick it up and use it in our studies together tonight. And do we have any concordances? Charlene, could you just get the concordance? Oh, never mind. No, it's in the room. Yeah, just on that side. We'll add another concordance to the table. All right, so if you remember back to our last class, we were looking at the situation regarding the foundation of the kingdom. And we spent some time in the prophet Micah. So let's just turn there, just as a little bit of a refresher. We were talking about the fact that God, in his plan, has laid out for us a purpose that involves the nation of Israel and those who are adopted into that nation, as we talked about with Galatians chapter 3 in verses 23 and on in that chapter. Now, in Micah, we were looking at the section that deals with the establishment of the kingdom. And does anybody remember where that was, since I didn't write it in my notes? I do have it. Micah, where we were last week, or 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. I can't really expect you to remember that far back. Okay, it's Micah chapter 4, and we were looking at verse 8. And, verse 6 and 7 was context, and then verse 8 is going to be the one we'd like to read. So perhaps we could start right here with Eden? No. You know what? It was one out of three, and I just struck right out. Katie.
Cassie.
Cassie. See, I'll get it by the end of it. I'm just going to read. Okay, if you want to start for us, we'd like to read Micah chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6, 7, and 8. And we're just going to go around this way. So, Justin, you'll be next, okay?
One each.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Nice and loud.
In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted.
And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever.
And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem.
Okay, so here we have then the breakdown of the kingdom. And you notice there in verse 8, and this is what we were looking at last week, both verses 6 and 7 is talking about the restoration of Israel, the restoration of the kingdom. If you remember Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he told them it wasn't for them to know the times and the seasons, but that when the Holy Spirit came, they would have the power to at least know the time and the season. They wouldn't know the day or the hour, but they would know the time and the season when the kingdom would be established. And here he tells us that there is to be this restoration. He's going to gather those that were driven off, the remnant. And in verse 8, he tells us that there's going to be two things. He says, to Zion, the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, and the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. So we see that there is a setup to the way God is going to establish the kingdom. The first dominion, as we looked at last week, was looking at Israel, the land of Israel that was promised to Abraham, as we're going to look at tonight. It would be the basic, the home base, so to speak, from which Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, that kingdom would grow. Well, it's verse 35, actually, to become a stone that fills the whole earth, like a mountain that grows and grows and grows and fills the whole earth. And that kingdom would be established and it would never be destroyed. So that's what's going to happen. But the foundation for all that begins long before the nation of Israel was established. And that's where we're going to go tonight. And we're going to look at that. Now, can you guys remember the five or six elements of a kingdom? Shoshana? Okay, there's one. You only get one. A king? That was the easy one. Come on. Give me another one.
Land.
Very good. King, land, capital city. People. What else was there? You've already answered one. You've had your allotment. Any ideas? King, land, capital city. You've already had your answer. People. What else?
Laws.
Rules, okay? And we added one to it last week, or last time. Do you remember what that was? It was a couple of weeks ago, actually. We added one more element to these, the things, the elements that make up a kingdom. Does a king rule by himself? Is that it? You just have one guy that rules the whole thing, right? You have an administration. So you have other co-rulers with that king that he basically works with. So, when we're looking then at this whole picture, we want to go back into Genesis and find out what are the foundation stones for this kingdom. The other thing we looked at last week was Nimrod, or last time was Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, right? So, keeping that in mind, we've been looking at all the way through, seed of the woman, seed of the serpent. We've been looking at the contest between the two ways, the way of Cain, the way of the Lord, people who named cities after themselves, people who named themselves after the word of God or the name of God. And here we have developing two other hostile things that are at enmity. One is the kingdom of God, and the other is the kingdom of men. So the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Babel, and we have the beginning of the kingdom of God when we look at Genesis chapters 12 and on. Before we go there, though, now you've all turned it up, we want to go to Hebrews, and we just want to look at a couple of verses in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at just a couple of the foundation verses. Hebrews chapter 11, so we're going to keep reading around the table. Whoever's next, if you want to read for us, we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 11, and we want to read verse 8, and then go down to verse 10. Yeah, we'll let Ashley get there first. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 8, and we're going to read down to verse 10, but don't start yet.
This table might come through.
They're not coming through? Okay, hold on one second. We will pause momentarily. Yeah, let's try that. How about now? Okay, guys, if you just want to say, Shoshana,
yes?
I just want to read one of those verses just so we can have a look.
Okay. A random one, like a different one?
Yeah, just read one of them out.
But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Okay, hold on one second. I'm just going to take a quick peek here. Desk. There. We are. This one's picking up, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is when it's not muted.
Okay.
Which is not
right now. Okay, do not adjust your set. We're just working on getting volume over to WebEx, and we're trying to get it to come through here, so just a minute. Let me think of this for 1 second. Why am I not getting... Plug in with that. Coming through from here. And those both are cranked. And those both are cranked, and this is cranked. Everything's cranked for some reason. We've got some volume here, but not enough. Very strange. You got her, Pontiac. There you go. Is that picking her up now?
Yep.
Okay. Very good. That's why you want to do that job. All right, so let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 8 down to verse 10. So in a nice loud voice, Shoshana, you're starting? I know your name, so that works. Okay, go for it.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went.
By faith he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise.
For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose maker and builder and maker is God.
Okay, very good. Actually, Josh, if you just want to just turn the volume for that down a bit, just so we don't pick it up over here, which you could do over here, speaker control. Yeah. Okay, and then when I ask them a question, I'll cue you in. Okay, so looking at then this passage, Hebrews chapter 11, we have here Abraham who is called to go out. So we have the separation of Abraham from where? Where is he coming from? Ur. Where is Ur? In the Chaldean area, which is in the land of Shinar. Whose kingdom is there? We just talked about a few seconds ago. What was that guy's name?
Nimrod.
Okay. So we have Nimrod, whose kingdom is being established. And here we have a man who's called to leave the kingdom of Babylon. The kingdom of Ur, and he is separated out of the Gentiles. He is removed from this people, and he is to go and to become somebody who God is going to use. In fact, if you just keep your finger there, let's go back to Acts, and we have a passage we looked at today, if I can just put my finger on it. It's the speech of James in Acts chapter something or other. Hold on a minute here. Watch this. I won't be able to find it now. Should never do this. Should never go off your notes, but I do it all the time. It's Acts chapter 15. Thank goodness for Bible marking. Here we go. Acts chapter 15. And if we can read verses 13 and 14. I think you're up, Avonlea.
After they had held their peace, James answered.
answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me."
Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name.
Okay, so here he's telling us that Simeon, which is Simon, which is Peter, of course, Simon Peter had declared how that God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. That's what Hebrews is talking about. We've got Abraham here who's being taken out of Ur of the Chaldees. And we're going to look at that in Genesis chapter 12. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11 where you just were. So here we have Abraham taken out of Ur of the Chaldees, separated out of the Gentiles to create for God a people for his name. And as we looked at right at the very beginning in some of our first classes, the purpose of God was what? Now you guys who have been here at the study day today should get this one. Okay, what was the purpose of God? Yes. Right, to fill the earth with his glory. Question number two, what is his glory? What is God's glory? Shoshana? I can't hear you. It's his word. Well, it's found in his word, but what is revealed to us? What is the glory of God? Remember, Moses was in the mount, and he was asking God to show him his glory. What did God tell him? What did he explain to him? What was it that he revealed to him in Exodus chapter 34? Shaping?
Okay.
His character. Very good. So Exodus chapter 34, God's glory is his ways, is his character, is his name. So Simeon declared how that God at first did visit the Gentiles, take out of them a people for his name. So, I need to get my little pen out here. We've got basically two things going on. We have the separation. What were we looking at in Acts? We were Acts chapter, remember that was? 15, verse?
14.
Very good. Somebody's taking notes. Acts 15, verses 13 to 14. Take out of the Gentiles a people for his name. And here we are in Hebrews chapter 11, and we had verses, what were we reading here? Verses 8 to 10. What was Abraham looking for in this chapter? What does he tell us in Hebrews chapter 11? Yes.
For a city which had foundations and a builder and the maker was God.
Okay. Now I want you to think about this in terms of everything we've been looking at. He's looking for a city that has foundation, so write this down in your notes, whose builder is God. Now keep in mind what we read in Genesis chapter 8 or 10, verses 8 to 10. This city is what city? What eventually is this city called? We're going to jump to the end. Yes?
Jerusalem.
Right, this is Jerusalem. Okay. Remember what we talked about? This is parallels, right? It's got foundations, right? And its builder and maker is God. Now think of Babylon, okay? So this is Nimrod's city. It's got foundations as well. And its builder is Nimrod. Okay, and this is the beginning of his kingdom. So we have these two things running parallel to one another. And so we have the city whose builder and maker is God, and we've got a city whose builder and maker is Nimrod. But notice that this city has foundations. Now, what is a foundation? This house is built on foundations, we hope. Otherwise, we might not sleep very well tonight. What is a foundation? Yes.
Where a house stands.
What it stands in. What's it usually made out of? Ashley?
Wood.
Wood? I hope not.
Concrete.
Concrete. Some kind of rock, right? Something nice and hard, solid, right? And then on top of that, we'll use wood quite often to build the structure of a house. But we hope that the foundation is something solid. Now, what do you build first? Do you build a house and then set it on a foundation, or you build a foundation and then build a house on top? What do you think you're going to do? Justin?
For a foundation first.
Yeah, some people do build
the house first and then try and set it on a foundation. But really the way we should do it is build the foundation first, build it on a rock, right? And then you build a house on top of that. So Abraham is looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So let's go back now. Let me just check we're going back before I take you there and then tell you not to. We're going to go one more verse. Verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 11. This is talking about the people in verse 13 who died in faith. So whoever's next, read for us verse 16.
You, Ethan? But now they desire a better country that is in, that is an heaven, heaventer?
And heavenly.
Country that is heavenly. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city.
Okay, so here we have
God. They're desiring a better country that's a heavenly. In other words, their citizenship. It's not on this earth. They're not Americans or Canadians or whatever we might be, British. They're looking for a better country. Abraham revokes his citizenship. He's no longer a Chaldean. He's now leaving all that behind, right? And he crosses over the river, or crosses over from Haran into the land of Canaan. He's the crosser over, and he's looking for a city that has been prepared. Notice that. He has prepared for them a city. So the city with foundations is something that has been prepared. It's not something that just presto, you know, sort of like microwave macaroni and like boom, there it is, you know, add water and stir. This is something that's been in preparation for a long time. The kingdom of God has been in preparation for a long period of time. So what we're going to look at tonight is the beginning of those preparations. So now you can go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. And this is the preparations or the foundations of that city. Genesis chapter 12. And Ethan, you get to be the man here. And you can read all three verses for us. Okay, verses 1 to 3.
Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Okay, has anybody got a Bible marking pencil? You guys got any pencils at all? Okay, pencils would be good at this point in time. If you haven't marked it already, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And as we go through these, it's going to be a very good thing to mark these sections in your Bible so that you can find them quickly. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 is the first of the promises to Abraham. So if you've got a colored pencil, if you've got, has anybody got a pencil case here with a bunch of colored pencils? Anybody need a pencil? You got a couple there, Joel? Oh, look at him, Mr. Bean. Not quite.
Oh, we got more pencil crayons coming here. I should have given Aunt Tiffany a heads up. Okay, now I'm going to make a suggestion that you use a color
that's going to be consistent. It doesn't overly matter what it's going to be, as long as you are consistent in what you use. So there's a bunch of these pens or pencils? Pens. Okay, well, I'm not going to suggest you do that, because if you're anything like me, you'll make a right mess of it. So anyway, if you want to just take a color, and we're going to use the same color all the way through. Now, when you're doing Bible marking with pencils, one of the things that's helpful or useful is to sort of just do an outline of the section you're going to color, so that you're not, like, you know, just crayoning the whole thing in. You just do a little light outline around it, and then turn your pencil sideways and just kind of shade it lightly. So I have a blue here, if anybody wants a blue, a couple of blue pencils. Or a blue pencil. Going once, going twice. Okay, so this is the first of the promises to Abraham, okay? And here, we're going to notice some major points out of this. I need some kitchen towels. Oh, you have an eraser. Oh, look at this. We're even more prepared than we are. We don't even own an eraser. Okay, so. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, is the first of the promises. And one of the key things I want you guys to pick out of this, tell me what are the key points in this passage. We have a moving board. Where'd that duct tape go? You're like a stagehand, Tiffany. Might be me just moving this thing around. All right. I'm going to put one on the bottom. See if I'll just stop it from moving. Thank you. There, that should hold it now. All right, so Genesis chapter 12, what are the key points out of this passage? What is promised to Abraham?
Let's hear it. Actually, we can turn the online people on as well. If anybody can give us one of the key points that is made to Abraham.
Show the land.
Okay, is this Judy?
Is that Judy?
Hi.
Is this Becky?
Yep.
Hello, Becky. Can you give us some of the main points out of Genesis 12? Okay, so very good. The first point is separation. That's the first thing God wants us to do in order to be involved in the promises, to separate us from the world. And you've identified the main thing there, and that is, or one of the main things, and that is the land. Thanks, Becky. Anybody else want to add to that? Anything else that you've got? The land, what else? Any other ideas? That's it. Just give them a piece of land.
Great.
Okay, we have his name being great. Okay, what else? Shaphan?
He'll be a great nation.
Great nation is going to come out of him. And if you got your worksheets, this is what we're actually filling out right now, is worksheet number 6. The things that are promised to Abraham. In verses 2 and 3. We're just sort of jotting these down. Okay, is there anything else that we can pick out of this passage? Shoshana?
It says, bless and I bless thee and curse thee.
Okay, so we have a blessing. Bless those who bless. And curse those who curse. And there's one more. Sure. Okay, very good. So in Abraham, somehow, all families of the earth are going to be blessed. Okay? All right, very good. So that's the first of the promises to Abraham. So as he lays this foundation down, This kingdom, this city that's been prepared of God, we have these things being laid down for us, and these are the first of the major things that are laid down. So turn over your page, and let's go to verse 7. Yes? We had separation, then we had the land was going to be promised to him, his name was to be made great, he was to become a great nation, bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, then in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That was separation. That she's the first part there, where God told him to get out of his kindred and his country. Okay, so now we're looking at Genesis chapter 12 in verse 7, and this adds a little bit more to it. Just not much, just a little detail more. So let's see if, Becky, if you're still there, could you read for us Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7?
And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said,
there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him.
Very good. So here, what is added? What is the additional thing that we didn't have in verses 1 to 3 that we get in verse 7? Yes.
Who's going to be given the land?
I got a hand up.
Put a hand up? Hand up over there. Who's got their hand up?
Ed Cano.
Ed Cano. All right, Canos.
What are they going to be given from verse 7? Penny's over at the Canos house in Ridgetown. Verse 7, what are we adding to it? He's got to find the unmute button now.
Descendants.
Okay, descendants. Very good. The seed, right? Unto thy seed, which is the descendants, he's going to give this land. So in verse 7, if I could spell seed, we have seed, which of course is the descendants. If I can't spell seed, I'm never going to spell descendants, right? So there we have the seed and the descendants. So this promise is extended a little bit further. Unto thy seed will I give this land. So, who is the seed of Abraham? Or who are the seed of Abraham? What are the descendants of Abraham? Yes. Give me the reverse. If you're not a Gentile, you're a
Jew.
Very good. It's the Jews,
right? So, we have the seed, which is the Jews, or as we know them, Israel. And who would be the, if you were to look at this in a singular sense now, who is the seed of Abraham? The main seed of Abraham. If you follow his descendants all the way through, who is the most important person that we have?
Jesus.
Very good. It's Jesus Christ,
right? So here we have it's the Jews. And of course, one of those Jews is the descendant of Abraham and David, a man named Jesus Christ, right, who we're going to look at later on. So there we have Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 and verse 7. So make sure you've colored in verse 7 as well as one of those promises that is given to Abraham. Now, we're going to move over into chapter 13. Now, we're not doing this quite like a Sunday school lesson where we're giving you the whole story. We're trying to pick up the key points that are added to this as we go through each of these passages. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 13. I'm going to ask the Plews, Caleb, if a new list of people there. We have more people. Who we got? Okay. Is it Ethan? Is he there as well? Ethan Binch, maybe? Okay. Caleb, tell us who you have at your location, if you could. Caleb. One more time. Chapter 13, and we want to read verses 14 to 17. So just take two verses each. And read Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 down to verse 17. Okay, very good. Thanks, Caleb and Sasha. So here we have then the land that is promised to Abraham. So I want you to pick up and give me out of this couple of verses we've listed off, what are the similar things here? I'll grab another color. And what are there any additions that we have? So what do we have covered in these verses?
Descendants.
This is after Lot is separated from him. Genesis 13, verses 14 down to verse 17. What do we have here that's added to this promise? Or is it reiterated what's already there? Everybody's busy coloring. There's nothing up?
Oh.
My hand up? Okay, Justin, go for it.
That's the same stuff in the first and second promise where it says, I will, to thee I will give it into thy seed forever. And then it said, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that a man can number the dust of the earth, and shall thy seed also be numbered.
Okay, so a couple of things that are reiterated, which means they're reemphasized. He would give the land to thee, which is, of course, is Abraham, and to his seed. And what was the word that you added in there? There's a little word at the end of verse 15. It's a very important word.
Forever.
Aha. Forever. Okay? So this is to be to both the land, or both the land and the seed, is to be given to Abraham, the land is to be given to Abraham and his seed forever. So I want you to underline that. As you're coloring this in, we want to underline or circle the word forever. Because what that does is it gives us the duration of this promise. This is not something that's going to expire. Okay, forever is kind of like a pretty long time. If you were to buy a pair of shoes and you were to get a guarantee on those shoes, right? Usually you might get a year, you might get 6 months. Well, this is forever. In fact, if you had a pair of shoes with this kind of guarantee, you could probably call them immortal souls because they have to last on and on and on. And that's the only kind of immortal soul you could ever have. But anyway, this is a promise that's going to last forever, okay? And that's an important point. So in verses 13 or 14 to 17, that's added. Now, we're also given some directions. What are the directions that are added in this passage? Okay, where is he supposed to look? What are the directions?
Northward, southward, eastward, westward.
Okay. So we've got north, south, east, and west. So it's basically the four points of the compass. Everywhere he goes is all taken care of. It's all included in this promise. What were the seed likened to in this promise? What was the thing they're associated with? He makes a little parable. What is it?
Like the dust.
Dust of the earth, right? So we have this idea, the dust of the earth. Okay, so they're going to be so numerous, they're going to be like the dust of the earth. So it's a huge seed that is going to cover, eventually, the entire earth. And we think of our purpose of God, right? If we go back to the beginning, was to fill the earth with people who have the knowledge of His glory as the waters cover the sea. So through Abraham, He's establishing a society. He's founding a city whose inhabitants are going to fill the entire planet. And that's what we want to be, is a part of that seed. So if you've got your Bibles, you want to have that colored in, we want to look at a couple of Strong's words. And they're given to us. Genesis chapters 13, or 12 and 13, both have these words. The first is seed. And I'm going to give you a clue what the number is. It's 2233. And if you just want to write that in your notes, the seed. And if somebody can grab a concordance, there's lots of them floating around here. Oh, that's Gesenius. Here we go, Ethan. You can be the man on this one. 2233. Make sure you look into the Hebrew version, not the Greek. Otherwise, you're going to get the wrong answer. So, there's two sides at the back of the concordance, remember. One of them is Greek, and the other one is Hebrew. And whoever can get there first, 2233. You got it? Oh, you already got it done. You're the man. Okay, we'll ask you the next one. You got it there?
Currently, child, fruitful seed, sometime.
Okay, so here we have, it's the child, the offspring. It was given to us as the descendant, right? It is the offspring, the idea of a seed. Of course, we think of this in natural terms.
if you want to have a whole harvest, you go and sow seed in a field, and it grows and it brings forth a lot more of the same thing. Well, here we have seed that are descendants, they're the children, they're the offspring that come from Abraham. The next word, Justin, if you want to give it to us, 776 is the Strong's number. And the word is eretz, E-R-E-T-S, okay?
Give us the meaning for it.
Country or nations.
Okay, the country or the nations.
And actually, Gesenius adds to it the idea of the whole territory or the region, right? So the land is the country. It's the physical area that we're dealing with here. It's not. We're not just talking about sort of a place. It's the whole confines of it. So here he says it's north, south, east, and west, and it's the whole area that's spread out. Now, it's interesting that it's the word eretz. Has anybody ever heard that before?
Mm-hmm. Shoshana? Eretz?
Yeah, I've heard it. I don't know what it is.
Don't know where?
Eretz, Israel.
Eretz, Israel,
right? The land of Israel. So that's what they call it, Eretz, Israel, the state of Israel.
Any question, Justin?
Doesn't, like, the word eretz mean something like stop?
That's French.
Oh.
That's the frog spirits. We're going to
leave those right out of it. We run the war in Quebec, you know what I mean, and we still have to learn French. Anyway, never mind, we're going to go there. It's a sore point for the British. So, let's move on from here then, and let's think of our 5 points, or 6 points now. What out of our 6 points have we dealt with in here? What are the points? Remember we said there's 6 points to make up a kingdom, 6 components. What have we got in here that's going to do that for us?
Okay, you've got a great nation. So this is the people, right? And where's the other one? We've got one more in here. Ashley?
Land.
Right, the land. So here we have the land, and they are a great nation. We don't have any more of the information yet, but that gives us something to start on. What time are we at, Josh? Anybody got a clock? 8:10. Good, we got lots of time left. Good stuff. So let's move on then to Genesis chapter 15. And here we have the next in our series. So who else do we have that could do some reading for us? Uncle David over in, I was going to say British Columbia, but
that's the one that actually had
a bunch of people add in. Oh, wow. We got quite the crew out there. That's because the Wisnoosies put on a good bonfire afterwards, and it's a lot of fun. So we have a good group there. So why don't you guys read for us? We're going to have Genesis chapter 15 this time, and we want to read verses 4 down to verse 7, and then we'll have another reading afterwards, and I'll get you to read that later on. So Genesis chapter 15, verse 4 to 7. I'll let Uncle David decide who's going to read first and how exactly they're going to go about it. Good. Thank you very much. So here we have another promise that's given. So if you've got your pencil, we want to color in Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to go from verse 4 down to verse 7. You should be using the same color every time so you can identify it. So this is really helpful when you're dealing with people that you're talking to at school, interested friends, you know, and they want to ask you a reason, as it says in the New Testament, the hope that's in you. You can actually find the verses. Or if you're like me and you keep going off your notes, then you can actually find the verse because it's colored in and you remember that there's this green or blue smudge somewhere on the page in Genesis, and you can find it a lot easier. So then while you're coloring that in, let's see what we can pull out of this. Are there any things in this passage that are the same as what we've already seen?
Let's start off. One each. Go for it. What is this passage dealing with?
Good.
Go start in verse 4. Anybody have a look at verse 4? And tell us what is the subject of verse 4.
The heir.
The heir, right? This is the seed,
right? And what Abraham is told here is that this seed, it's not going to be somebody who lives in your house. It's not going to be one of your servants or your employees. This seed is literally, physically going to be one of your children or your son. And of course, it goes on from there because it travels all the way down to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's who the seed is going to be. Now, what is the seed, the bigger seed now, likened to this time? We had the dust before. What have we got this time in this passage?
The stars.
Okay, so we got the dust.
This time we can add to it the stars. Okay, the seed is going to be like the stars of heaven. So this time we have the seed being like the stars of heaven. Now, what else is added in this promise?
It mentions in verse 7. I'm going to come back to verse 6 in a minute. Verse 7. Yes, they just read for us, actually. Verse 7. Who is being identified in verse 7? What is the concept that we have on our board that's being identified in verse 7? Chafin? Separation, right?
So we have separation once more here. He's reiterating to Abraham. He says, look, I am Yahweh, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. So he's brought him out of Ur, and he's going to give him this land. So we also have the land being promised to Abraham as well, to give thee this land to inherit it. Now, there's a curious little passage in verse 6 that we had given to us there, where it says, he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now the word therefore, or the who, we kind of want to get the prepositions, or not the prepositions, it's for the homeschool, it's got to help me out. The identifiers here as to who we're talking about, okay? So I want to ask you this question. He believed in the Lord. Who's the he there?
Abraham.
He counted to him for righteousness. Who's the he there?
God.
Very good.
So sometimes it's just helpful to underline that and just write in very small letters, if you've got a pencil, just write above it or beside it in the margin. The one is Abraham, the other is God. So when you're reading it and you just kind of go through that, so I remember it says of Ezra, he read it distinctly and gave the sense. We want to keep in our minds who it is that's being talked about here. So Abraham is the one who believes in God, and God counts this to Abraham for righteousness. Now, I'd like you to come over to Romans chapter 4, because this passage, keep a little marker where we are in Genesis chapter 15. Not that Genesis isn't hard to find, but let's go to Romans chapter 4, because this is where the Apostle Paul is writing about this exact thing that we find back in Genesis. And we're going to look at what he means by he counted it to him for righteousness. So Genesis chapter 4, and Uncle David, or not Genesis, we have Romans chapter 4, and we want to read a little section from verse 17. Help if I had Romans 4, that would be very good. Romans chapter 4, and we want to read from verse 17 down to verse 22. If you could have some of the kids there, Uncle David, read for us Romans chapter 4, verse 17 down to verse 22.
Father
guys. I'm going to ask you a question now. When you're looking at this verse in Romans chapter 4, verses 17 to 22, this is for the Branford group to answer. What is it that Abraham is said that is imputed to him for righteousness? What was it that he believed that God said to him, or God, it says of him, that it was imputed to him for righteousness? We'll get into what imputed means afterwards. What was the issue? Right, very good. So that we would have that Abraham would have a child. Why was that such an incredible thing?
She was barren.
Sarah was barren, and how old does it tell you was Abraham at this point in time?
100 years old.
Right, so he's 100 years old. Very good. So what we have then is a situation where Abraham, who is 100 years old, and Sarah, who is 90 years old, and who is barren, who hasn't had a child her entire life, and God says to Abraham, it's going to be your son. Not only is it going to be your son, but it's going to be Sarah's son as well. It's not going to be Hagar. There's not going to be another surrogate mother or whatever you want to call it. It's going to be your son that is going to be the one that is going to be the seed. And it says that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, the word imputed, we don't really use anymore today. It's kind of one of those words that, you know, what does it mean? So just write this in.